Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you work anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Join us at the Government Contract Pricing Summit this June 20th to 22nd in beautiful San Diego. The Government Contract Pricing Summit builds understanding and trust between industry and government pricers.
And building that trust is one of the key missions of the Contracting Officer Podcast. There's a great lineup of speakers, including the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, the Director of the Defense Contract Audit Agency, the Director of Contracts for the Defense Contract Management Agency, and because we also have to include the industry voice, we have the Vice President of Contracts for the Boeing Corporation. As a bonus, Contracting Officer Podcast listeners get a promo code to save an additional $200 off registration.
Registration closes on June 1st, and seats are limited. So head to gcpsummit.com/podcast to get your discount code. The GCP Summit is hosted by EBS, the makers of ProPricer. We'll see you there. This week's episode gets back to one of our favorite topics, which is targeting, but sort of from a roundabout way. And we talk about targeting from both directions, from the industry side and the government side. Let's get this started. The way the end of the sales call goes is the salesman saying, "So, does that sound like something you need, Kevin? Does that sound like something you're interested in?"
And then me as a prospect, I say, sure. Yeah, just email me the info on it. And guess what? I'm going to delete the email and never call you back.
The opposite way is the prospect says,
"Yeah, just send me something in email, whatever."
And the salesman responds, "So what exactly do you want me to send you? If I send you everything that we do, I'm probably just going to waste your time."
And as a contracting officer, I may have driven people to be that first salesman where I said, "Oh, yeah, just send me a proposal," and not realizing how much work that was. Actually, once I even asked for an alternate proposal. "So send me two of them." Why not? Right. I was asking for a detailed explanation when just a full explanation, which may not have required a proposal, actually would have been fine. That's why at Skyway, we spend a lot of time teaching people how to say no to things. Because if you're just sending somebody a proposal that they're just going to throw in the trash, you're wasting your time.
The industry folks will understand this. If you're guessing what the customer is really interested in, if you read the RFP and you're not quite sure what they're asking for, do you really think you're going to win? Do you think you're going to write a proposal that fits what they're asking for if it's a guess? If you read an RFP and you're guessing what the customer really wants to buy, I can think of two scenarios. Number one, the RFP isn't very well written, and the entire industry is out there trying to guess what the customer really wants to buy. Number two is somebody knows exactly what that RFP says, or maybe more than one somebody knows exactly what the customer wants to buy, but it ain't you. In that case, you're better off not bidding.
In both cases, you're probably better off not bidding.
There you go. This is why we say don't write novels for strangers. And how do we get this book analogy into our RFP and proposal writing conversation?
They're the same size. Start with that.
In this case, a novel is the request for proposal, the RFP, or the proposal itself. And there's a lot of similarities between writing a book and building an RFP or a proposal.
Yeah, for example, it takes a lot longer than we think. Writing a book takes longer than you think. If you've ever written one, or if you ever talked to somebody who's written one, it's not something you just crank out, even though there are stories of people doing that. Also, it's easy to get distracted and go down rabbit holes. Same thing when you're writing a book. It's very easy to say, we can add this, we can add that, and it just continues to grow.
But what's the main point? How do you stick to that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then if you don't know who you're writing for, If you're trying to write a mainstream audience book, which we don't recommend, right? If you're writing for the wrong person, then your book's not going to do well. Same thing with a proposal. Same thing with an RFP. And the last example is that you need to decide when you're done before you start writing. And what I mean by that, when I wrote my book, is I had a specific goal in mind. I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to give people this tool is the purpose of this book. And then when the editor looked it over, they said, "What was your goal?" And I said, "This to do this." And they said, "Well, then it's like 100 pages too long. You stop writing," right? And so same thing with a proposal is you keep adding stuff, or with an RFP, you keep adding, what if we add this and we put this requirement? It's very easy to start growing it.
It just dilutes the point.
Yeah. So you need to decide up front, this is what we're going to do, and then start writing.
The novel we're talking about is the RFP or the proposal. But what do we mean by don't write novels for strangers?
So know who the intended reader is before you start. Because if you don't know who you're writing to, by definition, you're writing to strangers. So for the government side, you may realize that once you decide who you're writing to, it could change your acquisition strategy. You could realize, oh, well, this is something we could do as a simplified acquisition procedures, or maybe this fits under GSA, or maybe we can mod an existing contract that's multiple award. Once you know who you're writing to, you can change your strategy to fit them.
And on the industry side, it means if you know your customers, you're going to write fewer proposals, but have a better chance of winning. Before we get any deeper, let's stop and say thanks.
I want to say thanks for an iTunes review from Pippa Hey Boo, which is really kind of, it's a fun one, right? The gist of this 5-star review, it says the knowledge that they're gaining from listening to the podcast is more than they're getting through the formal training they get at work.
That's awesome. We are really glad that we can help. Next step, where does this concept of don't write novels for strangers fit into the acquisition and execution time zones? We're talking about the early phases of the acquisition time zones. This is the requirement zone, the market research zone, and the RFP zone. This is where the RFPs are written and the proposals are written. And this is where the sides should strive to not be strangers.
Communication during these early acquisition time zones makes a huge difference.
And that's the key to why this is important. If we go back to the book analogy, there are millions, maybe hundreds of millions of books that have been published. In the ebook world, you don't even have to have a publisher or write a good book to have it published. You can just publish it yourself. But how many of those books have you actually heard of? And how many have you read? How many could you actually ever read? There's millions of them out there. How do you find out about the books? How do the authors find out about the potential readers?
Now apply this same analogy to the effort that goes into an acquisition plan. Or the capture plan for a proposal. So for the government side, if you're not targeting and communicating before you put out the RFP, which is your book in this scenario, either you have lots of the wrong people who are reading the book and don't understand it because it's not clear, it's not targeted, or your book is lost in the clutter. It's in among the thousands of notices and RFPs that are on FBO, and no one is reading it because they don't understand it's for them. They can't find it because they're not targeting it properly because you haven't targeted them.
Right. FBO is Federal Business Opportunities, FedBizOps. And right. If you've ever logged onto there, there's thousands of RFPs out there. How do you know which ones are for you? Well, if the government makes sure that their friends, not a whole bunch of strangers, if they make sure that their friends are actually looking for the RFP on FedBizOps, then you're sure to get bids from people that know what you want to buy. If you just toss it out there, how does anyone ever know that this is for them to read? And the same is true for the industry side. If you're not targeting and communicating, you may not know that the books, the RFPs that you want to read, you may not know when they're posted. If you find a posting that says, I think that's for me, you may be pursuing and writing proposals to people that don't really know you that well. They don't know you well enough to take a chance on selecting you because you're a stranger. You may be writing proposals and submitting them for work that you really can't do very well. You think you can based on the way you read it, but because you don't really understand the customer, because they're a stranger, you may win and, miss some important nuances in there. And the last thing I want to say from the industry side about why this is so important is if you're not communicating to the government of what your capabilities are and how you would solve problems, then maybe there's no books are ever written that you'd want to read, or no RFPs are ever written that you should bid on that are written for you because they want to buy what you have. It's like if you like to read mysteries, but the only books that are ever written are romance novels. It's not a fit. You need to tell the government that you like mysteries. Then maybe they'll write an RFP that's for you. Specifically, let's go back to the government side.
If industry doesn't know what you're mission is and they don't understand your requirement or the act plan, then you're writing to a stranger. You're handing your book to a stranger and asking them to evaluate your RFP, which I otherwise known as responding to it, right? You have to tell them what exactly you want, right? I mean, this is obvious, but one of the ways you can do that is incentivize them to get to know you. And so the example would be like NASA. NASA is really good about it. Everybody understands what their mission is. A lot of their information about how their acquisitions work and how their planning is on their website. It's out there. Not every agency can do that. But understand the degree to which you do that, you're letting people be less of a stranger.
How else will they know how to solve your problems if they don't know you, if they are a stranger? it's not about just reading the requirement. It's about the why with the requirement. You have to make sure that you say, here's what we want to buy, and here's why we want to buy it, so that they can make those leaps and ask those questions if the what we want to buy doesn't quite match up to the why you want to buy it in their minds.
And if you don't tell them the why, the offerers are not going to know that you're a stranger. They're going to think that they know. They're going to feel like they know you. They think that they know you. They think they can do the work, right? They're reading through this and, oh, this book was written for me, but it wasn't. It was written for lots and lots of people. And so as a result, they don't know why they're not a fit. They don't know enough about you because it looks like an average story, and it's not. It's your story. So make sure you tell them your unique story.
It's like how you feel like you know a character on your favorite TV show. You're reading the requirement, you're watching the show, you fall in love with the character, but you got to remember, it's a character, number one, and number two, it's played by an actor who you also don't actually know. But you feel really bad when something bad happens to that character. That's what it's like when offers just read the requirements. They see that surface of what you've represented as your need, as that character, but they don't really know the you behind it. If you share some of the you behind it, you'll get a better fit between what they're proposing and what you need.
So that's scenario one, where the offer doesn't understand that they're a stranger to you. And the other scenario is that you don't, as the government, you don't realize they're a stranger because you didn't target enough. Is that you think that this is a company that can do the work where they're really not the best fit. When I was buying facilities management, it was for North American Defense System that is in Colorado Springs. It's up on the side of a mountain. It's facilities management. So if you're just looking for, oh, I can do facilities management, or if you're the government saying, hey, this is just facilities management, but that's a really unique scenario. It's on the side of a mountain. There's a two-lane road that goes up there. You can't just drive a dump truck up there and do facilities maintenance. It's kind of complicated. And oh, by the way, you get lots of snow. And so if you've seen it, you get it. And so what happened to me is that when I came to this position and I said, well, why is this so complicated? And then I went to the site and went, oh, this is why.
But the RFP didn't actually explain the, oh, this is why part.
Yeah. And the great part about the story is that explained it enough that if you stood there, you'd go, oh, yeah, this makes complete sense. But the degree to which you need to really understand it required a site visit, right? And a site visit is otherwise known as communication. So once we did that, then people saw it and went, oh, okay.
Yeah, now I see. I really don't want to do that work. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can't do it for that price. I can't do it with the team I have, whatever.
Same thing, although we've told these stories a million times. Back when I was buying business jets for the Air Force, we actually went and visited every business jet supplier in the country and walked through our requirements to make sure that everyone knew exactly what we wanted to buy and could ask questions. As a result, very few of them actually submitted a bid because the rest of them understood that they couldn't win. If we hadn't taken the time, and true, we had enough time and money to do that. Not every acquisition has that. But if we hadn't had that time and money to go out and talk to them, we would have gotten a lot more bids from people that could not win. And that's frustrating for both sides.
And in that case, what you did was you spent the time and effort up front to disqualify people as opposed to just spending the next 5 years evaluating 80 proposals. You're spending the time and money anyway. It's just, where do you want to spend it? So that's the story to tell.
The thing you want to do on the government side is you want to help the offers not only know what you want to buy, but what is a strength? When you evaluate the proposal, what does a strength look like? How do you do that? Well, you do a request for information, an RFI thing, or a draft RFP, and you ask them.
In the RFI, tell them, this is how we're going to define a strength. Does that make sense? And you'd be surprised what you hear from industry. I did that once during a one-on-one, and they're like, no, that doesn't make any sense to me. But you have to have those conversations. And again, I make the argument that it feels like you're spending a lot of time up front, but you're going to spend that time anyway. You're just going to spend it evaluating proposals from people who spend a lot of time and money to bid on something and then don't know why they lost, and then those are the people that protest. I've done it. I've screwed up. Trust me. That's what's going
to
happen.
Let me use that to shift to why should industry care about writing novels for strangers? The whole what does a strength look like in the evaluation? My company bid on a very big program for us. We wrote what we thought was a Pulitzer Prize winning proposal. We had outside reviewers come in. We had senior executives come in. They read it. Everyone agreed. Blue ribbon. This is great. The customer read it and they hated it. We lost. In this case, the RFP actually did explain what they wanted. but we read the RFP through the filtered glasses of our solution. And we wrote a proposal that gave him exactly what we knew they wanted. No surprise, we lost. They were a stranger to us. If we had taken the time to understand more about why they were saying they wanted what they wanted, we wouldn't have written a proposal that gave them what we knew they wanted.
And that's a great place to wrap this up. For the government side, don't incentivize them to write you a novel by not communicating early and often, because I wish I'd done more of that. I didn't realize I was incentivizing people to write me a novel, and I didn't realize that I was a stranger to them, because I need to show them, don't write to me if I'm a stranger. Well, the way you do that is you put a lot of specificity into your RFP. On the industry side, same concept. Don't write a novel for somebody you don't know. Don't send a proposal to somebody who you think you recognize. You have to have some kind of a metric for you as a company, for you as an organization, that says, how do we know we know them?
Have you talked to them? That's a good way to know if you know them or not, right? Are you just reading the RFP, or have you actually talked to someone at the customer? Do you actually know that customer or vendor, or do you just think you know them because you're a big fan? You know that these companies do great things, so you want them to bid. But it turns out the great things they do for other people may not be the great things you need. It's easy to fall for something because you're a fan. My guess is some of my guitar heroes when I was a little kid, if I had met them in person, I really wouldn't have liked them as people. Better to leave them a stranger. And my point is, make sure that you know the person, meaning the customer or the vendor, for real. Don't fall for your projection of what you want them to be or what you think they are. And to do that, you need to communicate.
And while we realize this doesn't apply everywhere, the degree to which how much we understand this applies is how well we're going to perform in this market. Because yes, if you're buying some commodity through a micro purchase, this doesn't apply. I get that. And if it's a commodity that's going to be an LPTA, this doesn't apply as much. But the degree to which we know that we're writing a novel for a stranger is we'll save ourselves so much time and make government contracting better. Just saying.
Don't write novels to strangers. And done. Talk to you later, Kevin.
See you, Paul.
Okay, that's it for this episode. We'd like to thank the Government Contract Pricing Summit. And remember, you can join us on the Contracting Officer Podcast Network on LinkedIn and the Government Contracting Network Group on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.